Another close game for Oklahoma State. This one does not go their way. Iowa State defeats the Cowboys today, 24-21. Oklahoma State now 6-1 overall, 3-1 in the Big 12 Conference. Iowa State 5-2 overall. They are also 3-1 and now a very crowded Big 12 toward the top of the ladder there. I'm Gideon Hamilton here at Buffalo Wild Wings in Enid. Had fun watching this one until the bitter end, but a great place to come a little bit later on tonight if you couldn't be out here this afternoon. Newhouse Beer, Wild Herd, Kolsch, $3 talls. People have been enjoying that all day long. The two-time All-American, Rashawn Woods, is inside our Sports Animal Studios. Plenty of ways you can go with this one if you want to talk about some of the defining plays or performances of this game. We'd love to hear from you. 460-9957, 460-WWLS. All our phone lines are open, so you can call in right now and tell us your thoughts about the game and the rest of Oklahoma State's season. And our first caller is going to be Rashawn from Enid. What'd you think, Coach?
You know, Oklahoma State, defensively, they play well. I thought, man, the pass interference calls in that one drive where they went up and I think score four, when they scored 14 points, or maybe it was the touchdown after. But I just didn't feel like those were enough contact there or catchable balls on top of the matter for those to be called. I mean, I thought those were pretty soft. They waived the holding penalty. Which I'm glad they did, because even that call wasn't enough to even throw the flag, in my opinion. I thought they played the pass interference part of this game. I thought that was I was very, very soft, and that's coming from a guy who got quite a few pass interference calls myself. But those were definitely pretty soft. Oklahoma State's running game in the second half, for whatever reason, just wasn't as consistent as it was in the first. I thought Spencer Sanders played pretty well, actually. He didn't turn the football over. He made some big-time throws in there, but inevitably they were able to get to him too many times. They had a couple of penalties that pushed them back. And just like in most situations, so many close wins, eventually you're going to be on the other side of this deal. And so Iowa State was able to make just enough plays on the offensive side of the football and hold the ball enough to get the victory.
Yeah, and this they faced there are some times where Brock Purdy looks like all modicum of talent has completely left his body. Sometimes he just kind of has those games. This was him at his best, 27-33 overall, 307, two touchdowns, no turnovers. Xavier Hutchinson had a dominant game against Oklahoma State today. We talked about him in the pregame, 12 catches, 125, couple of scores. One of those came back on an unsportsmanlike conduct call. No matter, he would eventually score a touchdown on that drive anyway. Kolar, 6 for 69. Brendan Presley led the team in receptions and yardage. 6 catches, 84 yards, 2 scores. Just needed one more yard, and we might still be playing right now. Again, look, there's a couple of things that I think people might be talking about today, and that is fourth and a foot. Gundy goes with Tanner Brown, who I'm sure he felt confident with, but still, that's not a chip shot on natural grass. Tough situation when you know a team that you're playing against is more than offensively capable. I know a lot of people thought that he should have gone for that. And then the other thing is toward the end, where it looks like Brendan Presley rolls on top of one of his own guys and clearly got that first down. Officials didn't know what to make of that there at the end, but people thought that that should have been further downfield. Gave him space. You know, it wasn't clear enough, at least for the officials, to make that call. So that's just me anticipating a couple of things that might be brought up. So, Rashawn, I wanted to go and get your take on both of those instances. First, not going for it on fourth and very short and electing to kick a field goal, which, in hindsight, maybe we'd be talking about it a little bit differently, but it did miss. And then the final play of the game.
Yeah, you know, hindsight is always 20/20. Of course. I mean, if you ask him, if you ask Coach Gundy that right now, after the fact, of course he goes for it on fourth down, right? I mean, it's no doubt about that. But I thought going and kicking the field goal there was a smart move. Why take a chance? It's 14-14. You know, why just get the points, keep it moving. There's no you get the points. You know, that's the reality of it. And the guy just missed the kick. I mean, it's his job to make those kicks. That was about as easy as they come, and he didn't make them. That's just why, you know, that is the very reason why he got the opportunity in the first place, because he went on a roll of making some of the kicks, and he didn't make it this game. I think it was two that he missed in the game, and unfortunately, you kind of, you know, it's a 50-50 chance for a 50-yarder, but, man, inside of 30 yards, you got to be automatic at this level, and that's the truth in the matter. The Braylon Presley one, where he rolled over the guy, you know, he's not down, man. You know, he's not down. And when he was finally down, he had a first down. And so it did get shaky. You would really, really have to look at the rule book and really pay attention to, well, if a guy's laying on top of another guy, is he considered down? And the question for me is probably not. Right? Probably not. That was left up for the determination of the referees, which, in my opinion, they didn't have a lot of calls go Oklahoma State's way anyway. And so you would expect that they're probably not going to go that way. But I'll be interested to hear what – I guess you probably won't hear from the officials. But for any official, if a guy goes down or is not down, he's not down if his knee or his elbow doesn't touch. I mean, that's how I understand the rule. I'm not a ref.
Yeah.
You know, right? I'm not a ref. But if he's not touching the ground, you know, he shouldn't be down. I mean, unless the forward progress has been stopped.
I completely agree with you, and here's what I think. I don't know this for a fact, but I genuinely believe this, that if there would have been three fewer guys around the ball and they could see it better, OSU gets a first down.
And maybe so, but, you know, like I said, this is college football. It's Power 5. They got cameras in the freaking – they've got cameras in the freaking pylons, for crying out loud, right? Come on, are you kidding me? There is a – camera that flies over the field, dude. You know, they got 20, 30, 40 cameras that are there. Somebody should be getting this. These guys are getting paid a lot of money. There's a lot on the line, okay, for them not to have enough cameras, regardless of how many guys are on the field. You know, as a coach, that wouldn't sit well for me, right? And I could see it clearly. And there's only the camera I'm watching is one camera. It's like we're using five or six cameras at the most, and I'm sitting in the comfort of my own home, and I can see it.
Right.
Right? And so if guys are there at the game, and they're obviously they're better than I am, they're referees, right? They should be and it's probably a ref sitting there in a seat somewhere who's looking at every camera like he's a security and at a big-time place, right? I mean, he should be able to make it out and be able to have an assessment other than inconclusive, in my opinion. But, you know, hey, what do I know?
Cyclones win at 24-21, and let's go ahead and head to the phones. You can be a part of the conversation as well. Call in toll-free, 888-285-9957. What'd you think of the game? What do you think about OSU football moving forward? Can they get it back on track long enough to get some momentum and kind of be in the conversation for that Big 12 championship game? Let's go ahead and start things off with Mark. Mark, you're on the Sports Animal. Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
How you doing, man?
Hey, listen, Rashawn, I know you've coached high school football, man. I've coached baseball for about 25 years. Listen, I've heard for two or three weeks about managing games, managing this and that, and I think that's awesome. But at some point in time, you have to get away from the analytics and the X's and O's and the high percentage plays, and that is what's going to get this team over the 10-win mark and win Big 12 championships or go to Big 12 championships versus winning 8 or 9 or 10 games. These going for 4th and 1 or this or that, there's 6 or 8 times throughout a game, big time coaches, they put all the X's and O's and percentages aside and they just go for it. And it seems like Gundy coaches to manage the clock, time of possession, field possession and all that. And I understand that. I understand the X's and O's and all that stuff behind the game. But sooner or later, you just got to let your best players beat their best players, and you just got to let it all out. And I don't think, as a fan watching just college football, Gundy is capable of doing that. He wants to micromanage and manage a game down to the second, down to the yardage, down to the field of play and everything. And sometimes you just got to let it go, man. That's just what I see when I watch him play.
Yeah. There's a place for that, man. And there's understanding for me for that statement, for that caller. There's an understanding that because it's frustrating when you lose a game like this. You know, I mean, that's the frustration that you have because you're like, well, are there other opportunities where if they would have just let it go and went after it, could they have maybe scored a touchdown or maybe have went for it and got it on fourth down? You know, but there's another side of that, too, that we'll never know. You know, we'll never know. And that's the toughest thing about it. And I do that a lot, too. I've been through the exact same thing where I'm thinking, man, we should go for it. You know, there'll be a game where as a coach that I've went for it and it's worked out. And then the very next week, I'm talking about this year, you know, as a coach, the very next week I go after and we turn the ball over six times. And I feel like, man, you know, should I pull back the reins? Should I have been more smarter? Should I have looked to maybe manage it a little bit more different, right? And at the end of the day, you know, it's an ebb and flow of it. It's an ebb and flow. You know, when you have the opportunity to go for it, you just got to feel it. You know, and there is a point where, you know, the numbers and stuff like that don't matter. You just, if you got a gut feeling that, hey, it's time to go for it, you have to go for it, then you go. If it's not, it's not. But, man, I mean, that is one of the hardest things. And, yes, that separates the champions from the not non-champions. It really does. But to be able to say when he should have and when he shouldn't have, that can never be said before it happens. It's hard to. That's the hardest. You can't have that kind of foresight, you know. And if you do, and you're right, with that kind of foresight, you are one of the greatest coaches in the history of any program. But, you know, the hindsight part of it is where everybody's right.
Okay, let's go ahead and head back to the phones. Aaron has been hanging on. Aaron, we appreciate that. You're on Football Feedback. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's up? How you doing, man?
Well, so kind of echoing what the last caller said, and with Rashawn as well, is, you know, it's one of those situations you got to feel it. I agree that needs probably more risk-taking versus, you know, analytics and breaking down the numbers of the game. And we'll never know if, you know, that battle that coaches go through on every play, it's probably nightmarish, obviously. I'll say this as a word of encouragement. You know, obviously that last play was a questionable call. But, you know, you look to that game and you say, if you're not in that situation, then you don't have to worry about it. So there's other things you can fix to hopefully not have to be in that situation. Because Iowa State's obviously beatable, as any team in this league is. And finally, just another word of encouragement for OSU fans out there, because I am one too, is like, also said, Iowa State is backloaded. They still have to play Texas and OU. So Oklahoma State is still not in the same position they were, obviously, earlier today. But they still have a reasonable chance, you know, and some opportunities. Because Iowa State is not a world beater. Nobody in this conference is, and they've got some tough games to play. So go Pokes, and keep up the positivity.
All right. Thanks for the call, man. No, it's still in front of Oklahoma State, and even if they had won this game today, you know, you still have to go to Morgantown. You still have to go to Lubbock. They're a little bit better than people would have thought at the beginning of the season. Still have to play TCU, and then obviously you play Oklahoma toward the end of the year. So it's not like if they win today, then, like I said earlier, you can go ahead and book your tickets. This is a weird league. You never know what you're going to see from day to day. We saw that earlier today, Rashawn. So, but they're still in a good spot. They just need to continue to play the way that they're playing, and part of that included today. Defense comes up, makes a stop late, didn't do it on that final drive when Iowa State, you know, was kind of the proverbial hot knife through butter. But defensively, they did step up and make some plays today. Didn't necessarily run the ball as well as they have been here. Sanders had some nice moments for Oklahoma State. Like you said, not a lot of mistakes today. Did have that dime to Tay. Brennan Presley with a really nice play on that long throw. So three touchdowns, no picks for Spencer. So there were still some good things. This was just a tough game, Rashawn.
Yeah,
and,
that's
and
right.
So there are still some things to build on today. It's not like, oh, my gosh, you know, they were playing so well, and then everything just kind of went away here. You know, like we said, if there's one score difference, we're completely having another conversation here. But there's still some momentum moving forward, just not in that final result.
That's right. And, you know, as tough as it is, those are the reality. I think from a Big 12 championship perspective, Oklahoma State is still firmly within this deal, right? That loss does not just kick them out of, you know, the opportunity to make the championship. Obviously, they've got to continue to win, and then you know that game in Norman is still extremely important, you know. But Iowa State, like you said, are backloaded. They've still got a gauntlet with Texas and OU still on the schedule as they continue to move forward, man. And they got to win those games and continue to do. They've already lost to Baylor at this point. Yep. So, you know, and that's a team that Oklahoma's already gotten by. And Baylor's stout, you know. And so it's a situation where Oklahoma State is still in a good place. There obviously needs to be improvement. They obviously need to score more points.
Yeah,
you know, but they didn't turn the football over today. But they still didn't generate enough offense to win the game. And in reality, too, you know, hey, the game's tied if you make the chip shot field goal, right? I mean, and I know you don't win or lose the game by that one play, but it's a pretty important play when you look back at it.
Of course,
you know, I mean, that's just the reality of it. If he makes that kick and it's tied, they go into overtime. We go win the football game. Then hey, it's a great decision. He misses the kick. Now it's on the coach. You know, but at the end of the day, hey, that's a chip shot kick that he's got to make. You know, that's what those guys are training to do. And unfortunately, you know, it ends up going on the coach, but for one reason and one reason only, because he's the one that sent him out there.
Right.
You know, and that's just the reality of it. That's just something that all head coaches got to accept. But, you know, hey, that's a makeable kick. There's no reason why that should have been missed. And, you know, hey, if you have a chance to go back, if you could go back and change it, if you knew he's going to miss it, by all means, yeah, go for it on fourth down, right?
Yeah.
But we don't know that. We don't know that.
Set back to the phones, 460-9957. That's 460-WWLS. Also toll-free. You want to call from up in Stillwater, Green Country, or nationwide, 888-285-9957. Gideon Hamilton here at Buffalo Wild Wings in Enid. Newhouse Beer, Wild Herd Colts. People are having fun out here. Got a bunch of other great games on the slate for tonight. Let's bring in Running Girl. Running Girl, you're on Football Feedback. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. I definitely think they just need to keep moving forward. You know, just it was a really awesome game. You know, and as a runner, I mean, I know what it takes all the time to, you know, to train so hard. And, you know, last year we lost, you know, a lot of the races and things. But my goal and mantra is, you know, I just have to keep moving forward. You know, I've done well over 500 5Ks and training for another marathon. But I'm just so motivated when I see these young athletes, the style of play that they have. And I'm actually was, you know, really kind of rooting for them just because, you know, you just want to see athletes do good. And I think the key is just keep moving forward. And you know, there was a lot of – seems like those calls were pretty iffy. I'm not an expert on that at all, but I've watched sports for years. And, you know, I've listened to Sports Animal for a long time, and I really like Mr. Wood's, you know, perspective on that. So, anyway, I just always enjoy, you know, the sports, and I love the momentum, and so it was intense. I had to get a quick run in before the game came on, and so, you know, I just know what it takes, and I just hope that they stay positive, and so you guys have a great day. I've got to run.
All right. Thanks for the call, Running Girl. We appreciate it. 460-9957. 460-WWLS. This one was intense, and it stayed like that for the duration. This was from kickoff to the final gun. This was a battle between these two. Let's go ahead and head back to the phones and bring in our good buddy Charles. You're on Football Feedback. Go ahead.
Hey, gentlemen. How you doing tonight?
Good, man. How are you?
Hey, you know, it sucks to be on the losing side, but honestly, that was just a fun game to watch. I mean, both are two teams that are going to challenge OU for the conference championship. One thing, just on social media, people are still calling for Spencer Sanders. Let me tell you something. That man, that throw he made to Tay Martin is probably the best throw I've ever seen him make in his career.
Yeah.
That thing was on a dart in the perfect position. You know, obviously it makes the receiver making a great catch to complete that. But I thought Spencer, his decision-making was good. I didn't think he truly forced too much outside of that Brenner Presley touchdown pass. But it sucks to come down, play such a good game. Defense and offense, I thought, played pretty well for the most part. But that last call, I mean, in real time, you could see Brendan Presley was at about the 39-yard line. It is just terrible to end the game that way.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, we appreciate the call, Charles. Thanks a lot. Now, there were a couple. And of course, people were incensed over the unsportsmanlike conduct with the Iowa State receiver there, Xavier Hutchinson, which that actually took a touchdown off the board. Can you imagine if that happens to Oklahoma State and they don't score on that drive? Every single call that we would have gotten would be about this. Yeah. But they ended up scoring. In fact, it was Hutchinson who hauled in that touchdown. So Oklahoma State couldn't take advantage of that one. So, yeah, there were – generally we don't talk about this, Rashawn, but, yeah, there were a few that – you know, kind of left you scratching your head a little bit today.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You know, I think overall, yeah, Oklahoma State did do some good things, man. Iowa State just really came ready to play. I mean, they had some good – the guys played – they played well over there. They didn't turn the football over. They made plays when they needed to. I thought they got some help from a couple of calls here and there. But like you said, yeah, I mean, the celebration, those guys throwing a flag on that, to me, again – these guys got to put the flag up, man. That shouldn't have been called either. I mean, at some point you got to let the guys play.
Yeah.
Right? We're not there to see the guys in, you know, if a holding occurs or a pass interference occurs away from the play and doesn't have anything to do with the play, man, put your flag up. Right? Put your flag up. I've seen guys get holding calls on the other side of the field that bring back 60-yard runs. I mean, I'm like, dude, I mean, technically by the book, yeah, you might have had some jersey, but if it has absolutely no bearing on the play, I mean, don't make it have bearing on the play. If it has bearing on the play and there's a holding call or a penalty, by all means, please throw the flag. That's what you're there for.
Yeah.
Okay. But if you're on the other side of the field and you're throwing a flag and the guy's 30 yards down the field, by all, man, come on, man. You know, I mean, that kind of stuff right there, like I've seen it time and time again. And, again, guys are doing it by the book, and you understand and you respect it. But there has to be some dialogue there because, you know, again, those are plays that end up almost cost Iowa State. You know, they ended up scoring. The penalties were the balls I didn't think were catchable, and it wasn't enough contact for me. You know, but, again, that's the human element of it.
Yeah.
You know, some guys come in and they call every little thing. And then the very next team, they don't call anything. You know, it's just a matter. It's just if Big 12 teams get to pick officials, I'm pretty sure that those guys probably not going to be at the top of the list for either team. I promise you that.
Let's bring in another caller here. It's Matt who's next. Matt, you're on Football Feedback. Thanks for hanging on. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, how you doing? I just want to say, you know, at 3rd and 5, at the end of the game, I love the call to run the ball. At 4th and 2, I didn't like that call. Yeah, I think you got to throw the ball either past the yardstick or you just run the ball. I think if they would just run the ball again, you get the 2 yards. But I did not like that call.
Well, thanks for the call, Matt. Rashawn, what you think about what he's talking about is throwing the ball behind the line of scrimmage and making it all up to – if there's one guy that you want to have the ball in that situation, it's probably the guy that caught it, Brennan. But there was – man, there was a lot of traffic over there. So I get that. I understand that. But by the same token, if you're going to want to – have a for sure completion with a guy that you want to have the ball in their hands, it's that guy.
Yeah, and, you know, it's hard to criticize the play because he was that close. I mean, obviously, it's easy to criticize it because he didn't make it.
Right. Yep.
Okay? He was, you know, a couple inches short, and unfortunately, you know, that's just kind of how it rolls. I didn't personally have a, you know, third down running the football there. Well, you know you're in four-down territory at that point. You got to go for it. So, you know, why not cut it down? But just understand this. I kind of look at, you know, those game-winning situations, and a lot of time, and I've done it, and I've been burned as a coach, and I've seemingly been the hero, right? And you know, I throw the football down the field, you know, 4th down and 2, when the game is on the line, you know, hey, we may throw a go route. Because the defense is up there expecting a short pass. And so, you know, your best chance to hit them for a big play may very well be on a 4th and 1 to win the game because, you know, everybody's up there to stop that particular play and may give you the down the field throw. Right? And, you know, as far as risk taking and maybe taking a chance to do that, if anybody's going to do that, it's going to be Coach Gundy. That's a fact. Football, right? He's done some head scratching things, man, when you talk about taking chances, in my opinion. Okay? And so, you know, the play call there, you know, again, can only be argued when you don't make it.
Am
I,
right.
I that's not the first thing I thought about when he didn't get it. That's not the first thing I thought about.
All right, we're going to come back. Kenneth and Sylvia are waiting. You can be next in line, 460-9957, 460-WWLS. What you think of the game today? Iowa State survives and beats Oklahoma State 24-21. Cowboys hang tight. Unfortunate timing for this because, you know, Penn State lost today. Of a couple of teams in the top six that are playing each other next week. So Oklahoma State really could have made some inroads there just prior to the release of those college football playoff rankings, but still should be pretty high and still in a decent position anyway to get to the Big 12 championship game. But there's still a lot of work to do for Oklahoma State and a lot of tough places to play coming up here over the next several weeks. We'll talk to you when we come back. I'm in a great place. Buffalo Wild Wings in Enid. Newhouse Beer, the Wild Herd Kolsch, $3 talls. People are enjoying that out here, of course, along with their great food and tons of TV, so you can watch whatever is going on. Tonight just started, you know, that Mississippi game's a little bit later on tonight, so a bunch of great action going on a little bit later on. Rashawn Woods is inside our Sports Animal Studios, and you got it locked on Football Feedback. 98.1 FM, WWLS, Sports Animal.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
It's Football Feedback, 98.1 FM, WWLS, the sports animal. Iowa State takes down Oklahoma State today, 24-21. Gideon Hamilton having a great time here at Buffalo Wild Wings in Enid. This is where I watched the game today. Brand new house beer. Try it. Wild Herd Kolsch. A lot of people are raving about this. $3 talls out here at Buffalo Wild Wings in Enid. Rashawn Woods is inside our Sports Animal Studios. Got a lot of calls. Appreciate that. We're going to go right to you. But first up, who engineered the winning drive? This was a mix of Brock Purdy and Breece Hall. Breece takes it in for the score from 4 yards out, but Brock Purdy found Breece for 30 yards on the second play of the drive after Brock took off, ran for a couple of yards. Then Brock gets it to Xavier Hutchinson. Tariq Milton with the 33-yarder down to Oklahoma State's 4-yard line before Breece Hall takes it in. So a couple of nice connections there for Brock Purdy, who was at his best today when Iowa State really needed it to keep their conference championship hopes alive. That's who engineered the winning drive. All right, let's go ahead and head back to the phones. Appreciate you, Kenneth, for hanging on. You're on Football Feedback. Go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to say, you know, I'm a season ticket holder, and I've been a season ticket holder ever since Rashawn was playing football. And I just love your show, your pregame show, and your postgame show. I can't wait to get to the car after the game is over to see what you guys have to talk about. But what I would like to say today is that I can remember when Oklahoma State wasn't as good as they are today. Mm-hmm. We got fans that all they do is complain. They never give up. I'm not going to say never, but most of the time, all they want to do is pick out what's wrong with it. What's wrong, what happened on the field was wrong. What I would like to say is, how about come to the game, support our Cowboys, whether they win or lose, stay to the end of the game. Hold it, hug, and let's sing the alma mater, and then support our Cowboys. Our team, what they have to do is today they have to put that loss behind them and get prepared for next week. I'm disappointed that we lost today, but our coaches and players put themselves in the plan, and they put themselves in a way to win the game today. They just came up a little short. But I just want to let you know I love your show. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, Kenneth. We appreciate that.
Yeah, for sure. Go ahead, Coach. Go ahead.
No. I mean, this was, like you said earlier, this was a good game between two good teams today. And if Iowa State would have lost it, they would have been really disappointed. But, I mean, there are definitive plays that have to be made one way or the other. So, this time it just didn't go OSU's way.
That's exactly right. And you know, we talked a lot about you know, the state of the program last week. You know, I went on a rant there for about 10 minutes about, you know, the hot and cold or being on the fence, so to speak.
Yeah.
And, Oklahoma State at this point now, they haven't won many championships, but they're definitely knocking at the door and been knocking for a while. And some people can get tired of that, right? Eventually they want to get over the top, and it's easy to forget where Oklahoma State as a program was before the Mike Gundy era. And Bob Simmons had a winning season in there. They had some success when Mike Gundy was a player and a couple of other seasons here and there. But all in all, the end of the Les Miles era, Oklahoma State was winning. But they weren't talking about Big A championships or Big 12 championships.
No.
That has been a constant conversation. And, of course, yeah, people are disappointed that Oklahoma State hadn't won more. And the reason why is, like I talked about last week, is because Oklahoma is winning them. They're an elite program. And they're getting it done from a recruiting standpoint, from a tradition standpoint, even in the fans, although some of them can definitely be ugly. You know, guys are booing young kids and stuff in the stands, which is horrible. You know, which is horrible. And but overall, you know, Oklahoma fans show up every game. And they've been doing it even when they weren't losing. And there was a time when they weren't winning. There was a time when they weren't winning. And just like when anybody else, they also get tired of not going all the way. And there is some disgruntled fans here and there. But one of the most consistent things that you have to respect is that although they all aren't perfect, they fill the stands every week. You know, every game, it's standing room only, regardless of who they play. And that's not something that, you know, Oklahoma State can say. And so when people on the radio, people nationally, seem to be really on the side of OU or really seem to want to jump on that bandwagon. Guess what, man? I mean, that bandwagon has been full since day one. Since day one. And it's easy for people to root for those guys, right? And it should be easy when Oklahoma State has success when you consider how long it's been since you've had a run like this. This run is the longest run in Oklahoma State history right now. You know, and even then, even now, you know, it's easy to be pessimistic about the future of the program, about the coaching staff. It's easy to do that even in the midst of historic success in Oklahoma State football. And so you have to take a step back and look at it for what it's worth. You have to, and you have to support it while it goes, because any great player or any great program, a lot of the times, they don't realize that it's great until it's after it's gone. You don't realize that you got something great until it's gone. You know, they've made hundreds of love songs about this, right? Everybody has something in their life that they took for granted. And right now, I think there are some Oklahoma State fans that have taken for granted a successful football program right now. And you have to just look at it in that sense and not be angered by what I'm saying, because I'm not saying that this is everybody. I'm not saying that it's a major problem. All I am saying is that are you off the fence or you aren't? And I don't want to get too far into it again, but that is something that I am passionate about, that as a player that I see, the players on the team see it, the recruits, when they come to the game, witness it. Okay? And so whether you know it or not, you are affecting, and you are a big part of the success of the program, whether you realize it or not. Indirectly, you are a part of this deal. And so when people come and they want to go play for Oklahoma State, okay, you are an extension, just like they talk about that with OU football. And those guys are booing, and they got recruits there.
Yeah.
Right? They it's easy to talk about that. When they come to a game, you know why Kansas is so hard for them to get over the top? Because they can't get anything going. Fans aren't in the stands. Baylor was the same way. Baylor had maybe 200 people in the stands when I was playing. And they were bad. And when they started to have success, the fans started to show up. And before you know it, they're selling out crowds. And then when they started to maybe kind of falter a little bit, the crowds were still there. And they were able to establish some consistency. Right? And so, you know, the casual fan, you know, has a voice. He has an opportunity to benefit the program in more ways than just giving millions. You know, a couple of you guys ain't got two nickels to rub together. But if you come to the game and you're supporting, okay, that goes a long way when it's enough people doing it.
Let's head back to the phone. Sylvia's been hanging on for a while. Sylvia, we appreciate that. You're on Football Feedback. Go right ahead.
Yes. It has really been some good football today, and I was just really upset with Iowa because I saw nothing that that guy did wrong, and he ran that ball like it was nothing. But to get to Oklahoma State, the referees had some blinders on because he was not down. We had that first down. He was not down. They looked at the wrong angle. By my eyes, he was not down. But I'm not a referee or anything, and I feel like we got cheated out of the first down. I may be wrong, but I don't think so, because my television, it zooms to my eyes without my glasses on. So I just feel like, you know, they need to do something with these referees. They really do. They need to be fined because he was not down, you know. But in my dreams, somebody was going to lose today, OU or OSU. I was hoping it was OU, but it was us, you know, because I wanted us both to go in there at Bedlam with no loss.
That's right.
You know, I don't like to see OU lose unless it's against the Bedlam. You know, because I'm from Oklahoma. Well, I'm not from Oklahoma, but I lived in Oklahoma since 1970.
Right.
So I wanted us to go in there and do our thing. And I give it up to Caleb Williams, the way he snatched that ball and say, hey, I got it going on. Let's do this. He wanted to win. And that kid is out there having fun. And yeah, he did his thing today. You know, and if he wouldn't have done that, OU would have had that loss.
Yeah.
I believe that, you know, but we lost today. I take that loss. Sometimes a loss is good. It makes you stronger, better, and everything. And I'm not down about it, and hopefully it'll make us stronger. You know, we got many games to go, as well as OU. Don't get on the animal and try to dog us out, you know, because you guys got some hefty games coming along with you all. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You know, so, you know, let's just do this together. The only thing we got to fight against each other is us. And I believe that OSU is going to win the Big 12, and that's all I got to say.
All right. Appreciate Great it. To hear from you, Sylvia. Thank you. 460-9957, 460-WWLS. Knew we were going to hear from this next fellow. Coach T is on with us. Rashawn, Coach, go ahead.
What's up, fellas? What's up? Hey, Sylvia, it's not good to lose. Sorry.
Yeah.
Anyway, hey, seriously, guys, before this game, I just took the position that Oklahoma State was a better team, and it was going to be close. And if both teams played their best, that OSU would win. Well, in one area of the game, we didn't play well. Kicking game.
Yeah.
And I really felt that obviously ended up costing us the game. Either way you look at it, whether Mike decides to go for it, which I really felt he should have gone for it on the long field goal. The short field goal, you're thinking, like, I'm thinking like Rashawn, let's get the point. I think it's okay. Give it to Sanders and Purdy. They both didn't throw any interceptions today. They both played pretty well. Maybe Purdy played a little bit better, but I think the game that showed up is what we expected, was it not, fellas? It was that kind of game.
Yeah.
And I think now we better get ready for Kansas, because it looks like they're getting serious down there. All right, fellas, talk to you.
All right, thanks for the call, Coach. No, Kansas certainly played better than they have ever shown this season, despite the fact that they won a game against and also ran earlier this season. So, everybody that you play, whether it's West Virginia, who's kind of been disappointing after playing OU close earlier this season there in Morgantown, doesn't matter who it is the rest of the year, Oklahoma State is going to have to play some good football and play up to their capabilities defensively to win these games. But, Rashawn, the good news is that if they do play close to their potential, they should win. a majority of the games that they still have on the schedule. That's not a guarantee, but we know that this team is good enough to be able to do that.
That's exactly right. And but here's the deal, man, okay? So a lot of these games have been close, within a touchdown. The reality of it is these games can go either way, and it's the late-game decision-making that's probably end up making the difference for the Cowboys. I mean, you know, from a coaching standpoint, they're doing some things that's allowing them to get out of these games with close wins. And I'm going to tell you, as a coach, you know, that's saying something. Because right now, I mean, even for me, just coaching the Plainsmen here in town, we've had four games. We're 3-5 right now. And we've had four games, with the exception of Jinx, where we've lost by a touchdown or less. And I'm telling you, that's extremely difficult, you know, because in the situation, you know, in the reality of the deal, you look at it as optimistically and you say we should be 7-1 right now. You know, we should be 6-1. But on the other hand, the other games that you win, you don't win by more than 10 points. You could very well be 0-7.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, you take it for what it's worth. As a coach, you do everything you can to make the right decision in the end, and it's really – up to the players to make the play when they have an opportunity to make it. And in this game, you know, not to put a fault on any one situation, but it's a different game if you make the chip shot field goal. Okay? You possibly can go for it on fourth and when on the 50-yarder because that, you know, you're going to have a sense of if that guy can make that or not. That's a 50-yard field goal with your second-string kicker. That's one thing that, like I said, Coach T is probably right on with that deal. I have to agree 100%. That either we go for it or we punt them deep, depending on, you know, what the situation, what the circumstance, and how the game felt. You know, just to make them have to go 90 or go 80 yards, because most teams that go 80 yards don't score anyway, especially against the caliber of defense that Oklahoma State has. You know, but, you know, that all of that is hindsight. You know, there's no perfect answers because I'm telling you, I'm living in a profession and I wish I had every answer and I can't tell you that I do. And then I get on the radio and I try to give a perspective on it. And, you know, unfortunately, I'm not giving you guys any answers right now. It's only perspective. And that's the reality of this deal. And that's why we love to watch the stuff. That's why we love to watch the game. That's the part you come to see the game played, because it's all about the perspective. You don't know what the answer is. And that's what it is.
We'll come back. We'll talk to you, 460-9957, 460-WWLS. Time to take a few more calls, and I know Kevin, Robert, and Brian are trying to get in. We'll get to you guys when we come back. Having a great time out here at Buffalo Wild Wings in Enid. New House Beer out here, Wild Herd Kolsch, $3 talls. Goes great with a lot of stuff on their menu. People have been enjoying that all day long. Rashawn is back inside our Sports Animal Studios. Iowa State takes down Oklahoma State today, 24-21. This is Football Feedback, Bud Light Game Time, 98.1 FM, WWLS Sports Animal. Football Feedback rolls on, 98.1 FM, WWLS, the Sports Animal. Gideon Hamilton had a great time out here today at Buffalo Wild Wings in Enid. That Wild Herd Kolsch, $3 talls, the new house beer. Everybody is loving that out here. This will be a great place to watch USC Notre Dame. Alabama, this is early, but down 14-7 at home to Tennessee. So the Crimson Tide continuing to kind of scrap for everything that they can get. Miami, NC State, all of this and a lot more is on out here. I know there's a bunch of other sports going on tonight and throughout the weekend. This will be a great place, obviously, to come here tomorrow for the NFL as well. The two-time All-American Rashawn Woods is inside our Sports Animal Studios. Let's get a few more thoughts on today's game as OSU falls to Iowa State 24-21, and we will kick things off with Robert. Robert, thanks for hanging on. You're on Football Feedback. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it.
You bet, man. What'd you think?
It hurts, right? It hurts. It's a tough loss. I think it's two juggernauts going at it. Got to respect Campbell, what he's doing up there, what he's building. But I wanted to get your thoughts a little bit. You know, I heard Rashawn, you know, maybe last weekend, fire up the crowd a little bit, fire up the OSU. Hey, I'm going to give all the props. I think they came in. I didn't see, you know, a whole lot of mistakes. You know, turnovers, they limited that. I think it was just two great teams going at it. And one thing, I feel like Iowa State, this is my first question kind of, is it feels like they're kind of being a rival with us a little bit, right? And the other thing, I was watching Nebraska game not too long ago. You know, we had our first victory since 1960. I know Rashawn was a part of that, and you know, we rushed the field. And seeing this today, you know, kind of light bulb went off for me was, man, not any moral victories, but it made me feel good. Like, wow, they rushed the field against OSU, right? Don't get me wrong, I don't feel like we're at that level I want to be, but it's like, man, we've came a long way. So just two questions there and see what you guys think. I'll take it off there. Thank you, guys.
All right, thanks for the call. Rashawn, obviously OSU continuing to progress, and I think they're going to still hang around here around the top 10 for a while anyway this season, unless they really, really stub their toe the next couple of weeks. They've got Kansas obviously coming up here in Stillwater. Like we said, this is two really solid teams going at it, and they'll be two of, you would hope, the better teams that are going to compete in the new Big 12, the carryover, once OU and Texas are gone.
That's right. And, you know, Oklahoma State, that's a great point you made. They rushed the field after beating Oklahoma State. Like, I saw that and I thought to myself, like, when did we get here? Right?
Did you think anybody was going to do that after the Tulsa game?
No. I mean, like, I'm serious. Like,
yeah.
And that's a great observation, you know, and that just that blows me away. But, yeah, Oklahoma State, you know, they play well. And they lost the football game. Iowa State is another team that's trying to cement, trying to be relevant, right? And they are on a similar path as far as continuing to better the program. That program is doing better. But I think overall, yep, though, Oklahoma State is definitely still ahead. Oklahoma State's ahead of Texas, for crying out loud. I mean, it's Oklahoma and then it's Oklahoma State, in my opinion. And that's just because, you know, Texas has been a top dog for so long, and Oklahoma State's really had their number.
Right.
And although Oklahoma State loses today to Iowa State, it doesn't change it for me.
Yep.
You know, that's going to happen here and there, you know, year in and year out. But overall, Oklahoma State is still getting it done. They still have a chance to get into the Big 12 title game. And defensively, they're still stout. I mean, they've got to figure some things out on offense as far as scoring a couple more points, and maybe that is being a little bit more aggressive instead of micromanaging. I mean, we've had a caller mention that, and maybe that's the answer. Maybe it's not, right? But for sure, the defense needs to continue to play the way that they're playing. I mean,
now, there have been some good games between these teams. Of course, since 11 and that, quote-unquote, that game, I think OSU was 8-1 against Iowa State. And obviously, Oklahoma State's had some terrific teams, but it just kind of coincided, and some games were close between these two. But Oklahoma State's been really, really good against Iowa State. Just kind of stings that two of those three losses are when the program is undefeated at late stages in the season, especially the first time around. Let's take our final caller of this show, and that's going to be Brian. Brian, we appreciate hanging on. You're on Football Feedback. Go ahead.
Hey, Brian. Hi, Rashawn.
Yes, sir.
So here's the deal. I kind of got cut off earlier this week, but I was a manager in the 80s with Hart and, you know, Barry and Thurman. I think it was 90. I went and saw the Lone Tie. I went to every game after I was a manager. Saw the Lone Tie with Kenny Pop Ford in Ames, Iowa.
Uh-huh.
And you know what? Today's loss, it kind of hurt. But you know what? It's just another deal. It's just, we're a good program, right? We're not a major program. I hate to say it. What do you think about that?
We're right there. You know,
we're close.
We're right there. We're knocking at the door, right? I mean, I think over the years we've been close. We've had teams good enough, and we just haven't been able to get over the Sooner hump, so to speak, and win the Big 12 title. We've won it once. And I think part of that deal, when you talk about an elite program, you have to ask yourself, are you only incorporating the top four teams every year as elite programs? Is it just Alabama, Clemson, OU, and I don't know,
well,
Georgia or somebody, right?
Well, I'm a firm believer in 11, we would have won the national championship.
No question about it.
We would have won.
No question about it. Now, where's the cutoff happen, though? Is it the top 25 teams? Is it in the Power Five? If it's a top 25 every year, Is this a top 25 team? If that's the cutoff, you know, I would say we're probably in there, you know, or pretty close to it. I mean, it's going to definitely be, you know, down. It's not going to be in the top 10, but you know, Oklahoma State is definitely on the rise and has been. You know,
let's be honest. If our receivers were like, if we had Wallace and if Spencer, which I think Spencer is a good quarterback, if he could just take a little bit better care of the ball, that's why they're not letting him throw, I think we would – I mean, we should have won the game today. I'm not going to say whatever, but we should have won the game today, but they can't let him loose because he doesn't take good care of the ball.
That could potentially be a problem. But you know, Oklahoma State is still at this point – you know, each team that Oklahoma State has seems to have, you know, either the offense is extremely good and the defense struggles, or vice versa.
Right.
You know, it's one of those deals where it's unexplainable whenever you have both pieces together at one, and even the top teams.
Well, you have to understand, if you're going to be a national championship team, you got to have both.
That's right. Well, the national championship teams are elite. You know, Oklahoma State has been in that situation in the last 10 years. One time, and that was in 2011.
Right, and you know, I'll go to my deathbed saying I think we could have won it in 11 if it was a 4-team playoff.
That's right. I can agree with that.
Thanks for the call, Brian. We appreciate that. Thanks to all the calls. After this tough loss for Oklahoma State today, Cowboys fall to 6-1 overall. They're 3-1 in Big 12 play. Dream alive still of making it to the conference championship game, but it gets a little bit more challenging after this loss today in Ames. Rashawn, a final thought here moving into next week's game when they take on Kansas, who showed a pulse today, more than that against Oklahoma, where you know, they had the Sooners in an amount of trouble in the second half. We can probably debate on what that amount was, but Oklahoma ends up winning that ball game. How do you coach a team that comes off of every loss is disappointing, you want to win every game, but you know what everybody was thinking at this point, where the loss kind of takes a little bit more wind out of you than maybe another one might because of everything that had happened to this point? How do you manage that as a coach?
You know, I try to be transparent. Well, I don't try to be. I'm transparent. I'm upfront and honest about the situation, about the game. If I felt like we gave the game away, that's what I'll say. If I felt like we could have played better, we screwed up on assignments and so on, and that led to the loss, that's what I'll say. And I think that, you know, that those things have to be said. I mean, you can't soften the blow, so to speak. These are young men, you know. They have to understand that they're expected to go out and win. You're training them to do so. You know, we're putting this time in. You're working hard. They're all expecting to go out and go win just like the other team. And so when it doesn't happen, you look at the reasons why, you discuss them, you work on them the week, and you get ready for the next game. You know, and that's just how it goes. There's no room to pout in any league, in any level in which it's competitive. There's no time to pout or to feel sorry for yourself, okay? And the coaches can really, really help the younger men with that, because, you know, they've been through this a lot, many more times before than the players have. So, you know, get those guys back on the road, get them back into practice, and get those guys focused on going and playing and beating Kansas next week. That's the best way to go about it, I think. And get them tough. You know, hey, I mean, this is football. You're not, you know, unfortunately, you want to win every one, but you're not going to win every battle. I mean, that's on the football field, and that's in life. And you got to accept that. You got to be able to shake it and use the adversity to be better as a player and as a person.
Want to thank everybody out here at Buffalo Wild Wings in Enid. They were awesome for us today. I want to thank our good friend Ivan, who did a fantastic job for us today, setting everything up, keeping everything running during the pregame show, during the game, and then the postgame show as well. Matt Meyer back in studio for doing an excellent job as always. And for the great Rashawn Woods, I'm Gideon Hamilton. You've been listening to Football Feedback here on 98.1 FM, WWLS, the sports animal. Thank you for being part of the show. Your final score one final time, ISU over OSU, 24-21. We're back at it, 6 o'clock kickoff against Kansas next week. That means we'll be on the air at 4 o'clock for Countdown to Kickoff. Hope you will join us then. Until then, have a great night, everyone.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.